Alright, it's Wake Up, Chambers Brothers. And just like I've been talking about for the last few weeks, that's what I feel like every time I come in here. And I keep thinking, I told you I wasn't going to waste no more minutes, not even a minute on this show. Although there is one thing I did want to say, to tell you that, to show you that I haven't completely given up the old ways. That accident that was on the 10 near Hoover, it was dangerously close to my house, and I lent Yogi the car. So, Yoga for P. Rottweiler, if that was you messing up traffic, give me a call. All is forgiven. We'll talk about the license later, okay? Anyway, as I said, it's a sort of, if you look at what's going on in the world, you look at what's been happening, and you look at the response that people have been having, and where we're at, and I tell you, it's amazing, because I was just talking with somebody the other day. I woke up the other night, and I just jolted, thinking about what's been happening in the Middle East, what was happening with the situation. I had had a long, just come out of a long discussion about the situation here. Quite, you know, the way this is dangerously moving very quickly towards fascism, the situation for black people here, how to, you know, what's going on, how to get out of it, the situation for gay people, the situation, all this. I mean, we're sitting here and we're just looking at what's going on and we're just sort of yawning, or we're saying, oh, that's horrible. But you know what? There's a demonstration on Saturday, and what was it? A handful of people. I'm not going to get into, you know, fighting over numbers or to whatever that is, but it wasn't anywhere near what needed to be down there, you know. And I think that's true across the board. Why aren't there millions of people? You would think, with the tremendous, horrendous, ferocious crimes against humanity, war crimes, recognized, internationally recognized war crimes being committed by this regime, you would think that there would be millions of people surrounding all the buildings in Washington and saying, that's it, your day is done. But there aren't. And joining me to talk about this today is Deborah Sweet, the national coordinator of World Can't Wait. She's here in town. Stirring up trouble, aren't you?
Yeah.
What? You're supposed to say, yes, I am. Anyway, Deborah's going to be here for the first half of the show, and then we're going to be joined by Raymond Latta, Maoist political economist, who was on the show last week, and a lot of people wrote in about how much they appreciated what he was saying, and we're going to talk about Cuba and what the U.S. is doing with Cuba, how it fits into what's going on in the world today, and the nature of Cuban society. So it's going to be a packed show, and I want to get into it with Deborah right now. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Yeah. I thought I was coming to the Yogi Shrine, but it's just an ordinary studio with plain walls.
Wait until he gets here. Anyway, he's driving. Well, he was driving until the accident, but we'll see. Maybe it wasn't him. Anyway, you know,
I feel your rant about what's going on and why nothing that's happening is commensurate to answer it. And I want to say, first of all, that while this is not happening, there is the basis for it to happen. There are people out there. We just put an ad in the New York Times a week ago Thursday on August 3rd. The worst possible time to put an ad anywhere, in the middle of August, middle of the summer. People told us it's not going to be noticed. But given what's happening in the world, it was more than noticed. We had a full-page ad in the Times that said, "War, torture, Katrina, theocracy, bring this to a halt, October 5, signed by a lot of the thousands of people that have signed our call to drive out the Bush regime, because the world can't wait. And what we got was a tremendous response to this ad, three times what we've received to other New York Times ads in August. But it was in the middle of this horrendous slaughter of people in Lebanon, where a quarter of the Lebanese population has been forced from their homes. And it's still continuing this morning. I was in the airport watching people trying to evacuate, and the reporters are saying, this is a human rights catastrophe. People cannot evacuate right now. The slaughter is still going on.
Mm. Yeah, human rights catastrophe. Let's talk about crimes against humanity, because this is the thing. I mean, even I'm reading a paper yesterday. That, you know what they had in the paper? They're going to reinstitute medical experimentation on prisoners, right? Now, anybody who was alive 20 years ago, whenever it was that they stopped, remember what they were doing to prisoners. These experiments were fast and easy and loose. You know, all kinds of things that prisoners didn't even know about was happening. And they're holding this out saying, here you go, you know, maybe we'll take 2 years off of your sentence. Or maybe you won't have to do life. You'll just do those 25 years. You know, but they're doing that. They're holding it out to people, and then they're going to perform medical experimentation. And while they're doing that, they're getting rid of they got rid of the stem cell research. Mm-hmm. The assault on science is horrendous. They're trying to drive us back into the dark ages. You know, and this thing of like what's going on in the Middle East is just you can't look at the paper and have a shred of conscience.
Yeah, but you know what? I want to make really clear. People are looking at the Middle East right now and thinking this is Israel doing this. And seeing it within a certain parameter. Friends, this is the Bush regime behind this. Listen to what Condoleezza Rice said. I'm sure people saw this. This is Condoleezza Rice. What we're seeing here, in a sense, is the birth pangs of a new Middle East. And whatever we do, we have to be certain that we are pushing forward to the new Middle East, not going back to the old one. Well, what is she talking about? The new Middle East is remaking Lebanon. This country was remade in the last 20 years by people rebuilding an infrastructure that Israel had destroyed. In 3 days, this was bombed out again with the blood of civilians. This is remaking the Middle East with the U.S. having its eyes on Iran, possibly taking out Syria, attacking Syria, shaping the Middle East in a different way to fit its agenda of global empire. This is a Bush regime crime here. This is why World Can't Wait has on its website. I just want to read this. It's been on the front of our website, and we've had interesting responses to it. If you have the basis to know about but refuse to recognize or acknowledge the terrible acts your government under the current regime is committing in the Middle East and other parts of the world, as well as within the U.S. itself, if you do recognize and acknowledge the great harm your government is doing, but you do not act in a meaningful way to oppose this, then yes, you are complicit in these crimes.
And that's something people really have to, and that's something we have to deal with, that if you don't act to do this, you're complicit. There's no free ride. There's no sitting back in your living room and saying, okay, I'm outraged, but what can I do? You know, and that's and people have that question, but too often people are settling for that as an answer. I can't do anything. What can I do? It stops being a question and becomes a statement of fact.
I don't know. Well, yes, I guess people are settling, but look, what's offered to people? Right now, the midterm elections are being dangled and forced down people's throats. Right now is the solution, that this is going to right everything. The Democrats may, and they may well do it. I don't know. The Democrats may win a majority. But that doesn't mean that the interests and sentiments of the people are going to be felt and heard. You know, even looking out east at the Lamont victory last week, I think I look at it two ways. One, it's a very good thing that people are so opposed to this war in Iraq that they came out in record numbers to unseat a senator that had been in there for 18 years. This is almost unprecedented and impossible to do in this country. And Lieberman was defeated by an anti-war candidate. But looking at the other side of it, the nature of Lamont's being anti-war is that he's fitting into the Democratic Party vision of we could do the war on terror better and supporting our troops. And, you know, personally, I was just talking to someone today who contributed to our New York Times ad, a Vietnam veteran, president of a bank in Fresno, California, who wrote in. He said, "Deborah, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I cannot support the troops doing what they're doing right now. This is wrong. And you can't say that the war is wrong and the troops are right. The troops are doing wrong things." And this is from someone who was in combat in Vietnam. And I think we in World Can't Wait, you know, which is a movement, not just an organization, are reaching out to people very urgently right now. That's why I'm out here in L.A. and on your show. October 5, which is 7 weeks from this coming Thursday, is a day that we've picked about a month before the election, where we're calling on people to come into the street and signify, make visible their sentiments across this country. This has to come to a halt.
You know, look, let's talk about this some, because you talked earlier about there's the basis, and I agree. There's the necessity, there's certainly the necessity for something like the regime to be driven out. There's the basis to do it. The question is, how are you going to do it? Now, you just put out October 5th. Now, October 5th, obviously, what you're looking at is it's a nodal point in being able to do this. It's a, you know, October 5th is sort of a point you've got. There's got to be this manifestation. Mm-hmm. You know, from what I understand, what I've read on your website and the other stuff, there's got to be this manifestation on that day that actually will take things in the direction that they need to go in. You know, now the question is how you, again, you raised 7 weeks. That's one of the things that woke me up is like, because I was thinking about October 5th, and I was like, 7 weeks, you know, 7 weeks. How are you, you know, what are the things that you have to, that you're confronting in order that you have to overcome or that you have to do to make this happen?
Well, I think the main thing is that people, official politics, which is what is being offered with the hope of these midterm elections, does not offer any sort of answer. And I'm not here to tell people don't vote. That's not the point. I'm sure many, many people that participate in October 5th are going to be voting. And, in fact, candidates and office holders are already calling our office to say, can they speak on that day? Because people are looking for how are we going to pull people into the streets and signify. But I think the main people, look, there's something about the progressive movement in this country, and I know a lot of your listeners are people who consider themselves supporters or participants in the progressive and left movements. People look at politics in this country like this, that the people in official power in Washington are the people who make the decisions. They exercise power, they make the corresponding decisions, and our job is to protest certain things they do. And this whole attitude actually leads us to accept both protest as usual and business as usual. It becomes a certain dance. They do things, we don't like them, we get into the streets and protest. I think we need a whole different dynamic. We need to bust people out of this framework. The whole point of pulling people into the streets, including many, many people who have never protested before, and in fact who are completely locked out of politics, is to say, no, we're not just protesting one or another things you're doing. We're saying this whole direction has to be stopped. Bring this to a halt. It's a different approach, and it's saying, you know, we have said for a year or so, we need independent political action of the people. And I've begun to really break this down with people and learn more about it. You have the powers that be in this country making certain decisions and calculations based on the fact that the large majority of people are dependent on the two parties acting in certain ways. And in this particular case, what's happened is all the initiative is with the Republican Party, particularly with both the neocons and the Christian fundamentalist branch within them, having all the initiative society, and we say they're shaping things very rapidly in a fascist direction and for generations to come. There's a lot of evidence I hear on your shows and others that this is the case. But this whole direction's got to be challenged and repudiated.
I want to remind people that I'm Michael Slate. This is KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and kpfk.org everywhere else. Okay, and we are speaking today with Deborah Sweet, the national coordinator of The World Can't Wait, and we're talking about what's going on in the world today and why the world can't wait and what the world can't wait to have happen and how we're going to do this. What, October 5th? World Can't Wait has issued a call for October 5th to be a day when I would say, and now this sort of gets to the question here too, Deborah. You're not talking about 5,000 people in the streets. You're not talking about 10,000. You're talking about, I mean, you've really, for this thing, it seems like what you're talking about is you have to be talking, and I'm not asking you to pin an exact number, but it seems like the scale of what you're talking about doing, the urgency, the necessity, and the urgency for that necessity to be met by protest, by action commensurate with the evil, the horrendous evil going on in the world, has got to be, in the very least, you've got to be talking about hundreds of thousands of people manifesting in various ways.
Well, we're talking about massive numbers, that's for sure, and I think that tens of thousands of people in the major cities, combined with unprecedented sorts of actions all across the country. We are really looking on a day, and we're raising money now to do national advertising to get the word out about Thursday, October 5th. Come out to your local federal building. Come out to your town center. manifest that this president and his regime has to go. Even if it's, you know, even if it's late in his term, some people are saying, well, he's only got 2 more years. Look, 2 more years is an eternity when you have someone who's with his finger on the nuclear trigger, thinking he was appointed by God, and talking about regime change in Iran and regime change in Syria. We cannot allow this direction to continue, and we can't allow Bush himself to serve out his term without being thoroughly repudiated, or this direction is locked in place.
Now, you talked earlier about breaking down what independent political action, mass political action means, because I think this is really important. I think one of the things that, you know, look, world can't wait, and a lot of other people who have been trying to, in one way or another, whether it's they've been coming out against, you know, individual horrors, you know, or whatever, people, you know, and those people should certainly, even if they, if what they're outraged about is you know, the attacks on gay marriage, or if what they're outraged about is, you know, the ending of abortion, you know, all whatever. If they're coming out around one thing, they should certainly be able to fit into in the overall fight that's going on around here. And I think, but the, I think the big thing that you keep sort of moving close to and speaking to a little bit is this question of there is the, you know, there is the idea that. That you talk about need to break out of the box, in a sense. You need to break out of politics as usual. You need to break out of what actually, in a way, Bob Avakian has referred to as the killing confines. You know, Bob Avakian being the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party has talked about the killing confines of the of this sort of people being who people constantly looking to sort of somehow not really being almost, you know, scared almost to break that umbilical cord to the bourgeoisie and the bourgeois system, to the, you know, to break it in a way that you know, and to break it from politics as usual, you know, and I'm speaking, you know, I'm speaking as a communist, I'm speaking, and I know this is not the level of, you know, where all, what the people in the world can't wait can think, but or are thinking, but I think there's actually there is a point here where there's a common approach, I think, in the recognition that it is not going to be through the actions of the people who are ruling us now. We're depending on them to actually set things straight, or our protest being confined to keeping them honest, you know, when fundamentally everything about them is dishonest. And for them to be honest, they have to be the fascistic killers that they are now. You know, that there has to be something that we have to break into. And you've been thinking about this independent mass political action and breaking it down. What actually does it mean, and how do you get people to that point?
Well, you know, you have a point here about people fighting these outrages one at a time. And it's not only that people could fight them all together, but in fact, you're not going to be able to defeat all of these horrendous attacks outrage by outrage. Gay marriage, for instance. This is not, you know, I heard someone referring to gay marriage as an election wedge issue. No, that's not what's going on here. It's not just a crafty use of the Republican Party of an issue. They are actually talking about remaking society so that the norms it's based on are entirely different. And this is something that's beginning to dawn on a lot of people. In various ways. We did a bus tour up the center of the country for a month this summer, from Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Ohio, you know, where people just went out to all of these places that sort of signify what the Bush regime is doing. A creationist museum in Arkansas, in the middle of a gay resort town, Eureka Springs. And it was incredible, the outpouring. The people in our bus tour were embraced in Walmart parking lots by people who had been active in the 60s, saying, I never thought I would see anything like this, going after the whole regime. So it speaks to the basis, but the main, it's very important for people to understand you can't fight these outrages one at a time. It actually does take a repudiation of the whole direction. It is possible for people to come into this movement through one issue, but to act together quite decisively on October 5th. And what I think we're saying is that the dominant framework is keeping things right where it is right now. Until the people making decisions in this country have to take into their calculations that there are people acting on the sentiments of what they actually believe in, not what elections have translated them into, i.e., you're anti-war, and you're going to vote for the Democrats, and then what you're actually going to end up voting for is a Democratic Party leadership that's saying, well, we can really do the war on terror better than the Republicans. When you're feeling like you want an end to this aggressive war on the world. So people have to start thinking, yes, you said outside the box, acting independently. We are not dependent on them setting the terms any longer. This has to become visible in society. And we're getting feedback from around the country on what these actions on October 5 are going to look like. And I want people, you know, to know that they can go to worldcantwait.org, call us at 866-473, I'm going to have to look up the phone number. I have it here. 866-473-6693. And find out all across the country, we're setting up new organization in Bakersfield, in Orange County, L.A., Fresno, all over the place in Southern California. And this is happening around the country. People are going to come out and manifest that day in new ways that are not dependent on and not exclusive of people participating in all the movements they're in now. But clearly something has to give in terms of this dam opening up. There's a huge reservoir of people who are not activated right now, who hate the direction this is going, and we are determined to create a great wave of them starting on Thursday, October 5.
See, and that's exactly the point, is that the point of actually activating this great reservoir of people who are so completely outraged but are actually, in a sense, paralyzed right now. And it's sort of, you know, and looking for how to stand up around this. And I know, and people have heard me over the last few weeks, I'm really frustrated and really angry about what's happening and how, you know, I mean, even I know what it's like when you're sitting in sort of a place like this, and you get into intense political discussion with somebody about what's going on, and then all of a sudden, you know, you realize that they're going off to do whatever they do, you know, like, I don't know, write or, you know, play music or hang out or go whatever, walk through the park, and you're thinking, you know, it's almost, you become almost nuts. You just want to grab people like, what do you, no, you can't walk through the park. You know, you're walking on blood, okay? And it's sort of, but it's true. That's how you begin to feel, mm-hmm. You know, and this thing of actually unleashing and mobilizing and breaking this great mass of people.
I have to say my anger is really directed right now and really focused on the Bush regime, mm-hmm. and what it's doing to remake society. And I have a great sense of a positive potential here on breaking open this great wave. People don't know what to do. They're offered very restricted framework to operate. And there are people speaking out all over the place. I hear Ray McGovern was in town last night speaking against torture. There's someone who's really given an example of someone who was in the government and has really turned its back on everything that they're doing. More people like him need to come out. Average everyday citizens, professional people need to come out and act in a way that's commensurate. I also want to give the Los Angeles phone number, if I can, for World Can't Wait. Mm-hmm. 323-462-4771. It's a very active group, and people should hook up
actually,
with them
they
and
have,
help
they,
them.
Yeah, they have. That's again. That's 323-462-4771, and they have weekly meetings every Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Peace Center, which is 8124 West 3rd Street, and it's at 1 p.m. on Sundays. So, and that's every week. I know, because I know a lot of people that go to them. Anyway, I think your last statement is extremely important, and I know as frustrated as I get, it is important that we recognize that whole point about there is this outrage. There's enough outrage to overthrow this, you know, to drive them out. There's enough outrage to, you know, to really reverse the direction that this is going, to stop that direction, you know. But it's also true, and I do think that, you know, and I think it's really true that we have to focus our outrage and our anger on the Bush regime, and we also have to figure out how to bust through on this, though, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's like, again, it is that point. It is the streets, you know, my own experience, and whether it's in the 60s, mm-hmm. or whether it's in South Africa or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, the point of when people erupt and can take no more in all the different ways, in the cultural realm, in the streets, in the schools, and I mean, Soweto, I mean, amazing. Soweto was began, and Soweto rocked the world. In June 16th, 1976, the world changed dramatically when these 11-year-old black kids in South Africa refused to go into school, saying, "For freedom, we will lay down our lives." They marched through these dirt roads in Soweto, and their picture was splashed all across the world. And it became the beginning of the end of the apartheid regime. Now, we're talking about, we don't even have the time. We don't have the time for that to take what it took from June of 76 until the end of the apartheid regime in the early 90s. But we do have, there's a point that was made in Revolution newspaper last week in an editorial that it said, we don't have all the time in the world, but we do have time. We have time enough to save the future. And this is, I think, an orientation that people really have got to get hold of.
Right. If people come out of the stands, stop being spectators. We're calling on people to act. There's a way to act. There is a way. There is a day. Thursday, October 5. This day is not the property of any organization. It is out there for the people to make historic, independent action. We're calling on people to join in, get involved, get in touch with us at worldcan'twait.org.
Now, give me a sort of, as we move to wrap this up, give me a little bit of an idea. Give our listeners a little bit of an idea of what you mean. Let's concretize that a little bit.
Okay, well, some flavor. I mean, we're looking at Mexico. We're looking at the historic outpourings of immigrants this year. Really mass action. And again, that if that can get brought into this movement against the Bush regime, think of how it will strengthen the just demands of the immigrants. Focusing on the question of the border control, death at the border, and so forth. But we're talking about actions that day centered in central cores of cities and at federal buildings that are very significant demonstrations in themselves and large, but that we're thinking many of those will turn into all-night street parties and encampments, that people will feel, okay, this is the time not to go home, and that others will hear about this on the news and come down and join them, and that this is not just for, you know, youth. This is for all the retired people we're hearing from that are saying, you know, I might come into the streets if I felt it would do any good, if it was something different enough, serious enough, dramatic enough to make a difference. This is what we're looking for and what we all very much need on Thursday, October 5th.
Now, when you mentioned one thing that you said that I thought was actually interesting, not one thing that was interesting, but one thing that really struck me here was you said that this is not the property of World Can't Wait. It's not the property of an organization, but that you're actually looking for people from, I would imagine, all kinds of organizations, all kinds of clubs, all kinds of political organizations to one way or another manifest.
Well, honestly, if this isn't the property of many organized groupings in this society, from teachers to unions, from community organizations and churches, manifesting in this independent kind of way, it won't possibly be what it needs to be. We're giving a structure and an idea and a way for people to act centered around our call, which has been signed now by tens of thousands of people, on the basis of these 7 Your Government statements that people can see on our website, worldcan'twait.org. And this is a historic time and a very necessary time for people to act. You know, back to the question of the Middle East, we don't know, but the attack on Iran could have begun by October 5th. This could be what's facing us as we go into this election. So for all those people out there who are aching with looking at what's going on through one issue or through the whole package, this is the time to act. You know, take historic action. Let's break open this dam of righteous opposition and be determined to stop this regime, not only to protest the bad things that it's doing.
Now, I'm going to do this because it'll only take about a minute, and then we'll wrap up here. But the call, the Your Governments, this is the basis that people are being called on to come out around. All right? This is, and people should listen up here and think about this. And if you can agree with this, then you need to you know, seriously consider what World Can't Wait is talking about on October 5th. All right? Your government, on the basis of outrageous lies, is waging a murderous and utterly illegitimate war in Iraq with other countries in their sights. Your government is openly torturing people and justifying it. Your government puts people in jail on the merest suspicion, refusing them lawyers and either holding them indefinitely or deporting them in the dead of night. Your government is moving each day closer to a theocracy, where a narrow and hateful brand of Christian fundamentalism will rule. Your government suppresses the science that doesn't fit its religious, political, and economic agenda, forcing present and future generations to pay a terrible price. Your government is moving to deny women here and all over the world the right to birth control and abortion. Your government enforces a culture of greed, bigotry, intolerance, and ignorance. That's what people need to agree to. They need to understand, and they need to drive this regime out on that basis. And that's what, you know, the world can't wait. It's calling on people to step forward around.
And we have some political work to do about that. There's every opportunity for people to step forward, but there's some wrangling and some actually wrenching struggle to get to that place, which I'm embracing and welcoming. People can even write me at Debra, D-E-B-R-A, at worldcan'twait.org. Okay. I'd love to hear from you.
That's Debra, D-E-B-R-A, at worldcan'twait.org. And the local number for World Can't Wait is 323-462-4771. The national number is 866-473-6696. And the website is worldcan'twait.org. That's the national website. And I think the L.A. website is worldcan'twait-la.com. All right, Debra, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Michael.
Sure. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Raymond Lada to talk about what the U.S. is doing with Cuba, Castro, and the nature of Cuban society.